This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
There's a word that you hear used a lot today, restoration. We hear people talking about it in regards to maybe an old home that's been in disrepair for a long time, and they go in and they talk about restoring that old home. Maybe a person has a piece of furniture that they have had in their family for many, many years, and they take it to someone who does furniture restoration. Today we want to talk about it from a different point of view, and that's spiritual restoration. And as we continue our study today on the 23rd Psalm, we're going to discuss this subject. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we appreciate your tuning in to watch today. We trust that you will stay tuned as we discuss that subject today. Now, on our telecast, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And I want to emphasize and highlight the word free. We do not charge you for this. If you were to call in for it, you're not going to be asked to pay for it. The only thing that it will cost you monetarily will be the postage to mail it back after you have studied it, filled out the questions, mail them back in to be graded, and you will receive a certificate once you do that. So I hope that you'll take it. And we're going to pause long enough so you can find out more about the course and how you can take the course.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm reading now from the 23rd Psalm, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to notice in the third verse these words, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. The He is the shepherd of verse 1. The Lord is the one who restores my soul. What happens when a sheep is cast, C-A-S-T. A sheep may get in a hollow or a depression in the ground, and it begins to roll too much, and his wool gets full of mud, and the sheep gets heavy, and he may turn on his back so far that his feet will no longer touch the ground. Then it becomes impossible for the sheep to regain his footing. He gets tired of kicking, and he just lays there. The gases begin to build up in the sheep's stomach, and the blood circulation is cut off to its extremities, especially the legs. And in a case like this, the sheep may lose its breath, and it can die. Now, one way to be saved is for the shepherd to rescue the sheep. He will turn the sheep over. He will talk to it gently. He will rub its legs, trying to restore the circulation. He will have to make the sheep try to walk, even if it doesn't feel like walking. And he'll have to watch over that sheep for some time in case the sheep staggers and falls again. And if the sheep falls, well, then he'll have to help it get up again. You know, life can put us on our back, especially in hard times. Life can deplete our souls. And we need someone who can help us get up and get going again. And it is the Good Shepherd who restores our soul. Now, here is a truth that is not to be taken lightly. Sheep are prone to wander. Sheep are careless. They lack focus. And as a result of that, sheep wander away. They're easily led away. And the truth is, they follow sometimes the wrong path when they begin to wander. Now, in that regard, men are just like sheep. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray and turned every man to his own way. See, men wander away from God like straying sheep. So sometimes we just get distracted. I think this may be what happened to Demas, of whom we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, that Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, it seems as though Demas had been distracted by the present world. Sometimes men wander because they follow the wrong leader. Now, sometimes we are like the people of whom we read in Matthew 15. And there Jesus said, let the blind lead the blind, because both of them are going to fall into the ditch. Sometimes we're following blind leaders, leaders that do not know where they're going, leaders that do not know the directions they have from God, but they make up things and we follow them. That's the reason Paul warned the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that they should be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, that is, every wind of teaching, but that they be mature. They were to be to focus and to be mature, not be distracted by the wrong kind of a leader. You better be careful about what men teach. Men teach all kinds of things you cannot find in the Bible. And if you can't find it in the Bible, I wouldn't listen to a person like that. I urge you to take your Bible and to test the things that I tell you on this telecast. Men wander like sheep that are straying because they have fallen the wrong leader. Sometimes men wander because they lose focus in life. They don't even really understand why they're here. They're just like wandering generalities. They have no idea, no focus, no purpose in life. But our reason for existence is to fear God and to keep His commandments. Solomon said this is the whole duty of man. And we're to stay focused on spiritual matters, spiritual things. You say, well, I'm really interested in making a lot of money. I'm interested in having more money than anybody else in all of the world. What Jesus said, what is a man profited if you gain the whole world and lose his soul? You see, a man may have all the gold and all the silver and all of the fame and all the fortune and all of the world. His name or her name, and it might be a woman, and their name might be seen in lights. They may be known all over the world, the entire world. But what is that worth if you lose your soul in the process? You see, we stray because we lose our focus on the real thing, and the real thing is to focus on God. Focus on things that are above. Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. When we start focusing only on things on this earth and not on the next life and things that are beyond, that transcend this world and beyond this world, then we're like a straying sheep. And men wander like a straying sheep because they start gradually drifting away. You know, the Apostle Paul warned about that, if he be the writer of the Hebrew letter. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, when he said, we ought to take heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away. Drifting is a very easy thing to do. Like a sheep with its head down grazing without ever noticing where it's going. And soon that sheep is far from the shepherd and from the fold. You see, the sheep didn't intend for it to happen. No, it just happened. And men are just like sheep. There are those that drift away from the church. They didn't intend for it to happen, but it happened. And then they grow cold toward God. Psalms chapter 10 and verse 4 talks about those who have no thought of God even in their hearts. And there are those in our world who have no thought of God whatsoever in their hearts. They've grown cold toward God. The church in Laodicea was a church that had grown cold. The Lord wrote to them and he said, thus saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, but seeing that you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth, because you say I'm rich and I'm increased in goods and I have need of nothing. But he said, I'm telling you that you are rich, and he said, you're not rich, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. And he said, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. But then he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. They've driven the Lord out of that church by their lukewarmness. And a lukewarm person can become lukewarm toward God as an individual. A man was visiting a Christian, a wayward Christian, one that had strayed away from the fold, strayed away from the Lord, carelessly. And they were sitting before an open fire, that is the fireplace. And the preacher picked up a pair of tongs, and with those tongs he took a red coal out of the fire and placed it on the hearth and continued talking to the man. And after a while, the preacher was able to reach down with his bare hand and pick up that coal that had been filled with fire, but now it was cold. And he was able to pick it up and hold it in the bare palm of his hand. Without saying a word, the lesson was unforgettable. When you get away from God, when you get away from the source of fire in your life, the fire goes out in your heart. So there are those that grow cold. There are those that become of no value to the kingdom because they're like wandering sheep. Jesus in John 15, we talked about that he was about the vine and the branches, and that he was the true vine, and the men are the branches in that vine, and God is the husbandman. And he said, if a branch does not bear fruit, it's cast forth and it's burned. John 15, verse 6. It doesn't have any use in the kingdom. We need to restore sheep that are wayward. Jesus gave a parable about that in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. A man had 100 sheep, and one of those sheep wandered away. And then he left the 99 and went after the one that was lost. You know, when someone in the church should wander away, you know what we should do? Should we just mark their names off of the so-called directory that we have? No, we need to seek their restoration. If a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That's what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. He said, there are those of you who need to be restored. And the word restore or restoration really is a medical term. It means to put something back into its place or to put it back in joint. Suppose my right shoulder should become dislocated and someone puts it back in joint, they have restored the use of that shoulder. And when there is a member of the body that is out of his or her place, we should seek the restoration of that individual. And those who are to engage themselves in this work are identified in Galatians 6 and verse 1. And it is the spiritual. He said, let those of you that are spiritual restore such a one. So this is a much needed work today. There are so many that have wandered away during the time that churches were closed and services were not held. There were those that wandered away. I've talked to many of my fellow preachers in the churches of Christ. I've talked to elders, fellow elders in the churches of Christ. And I've yet to talk to one that does not have members who wandered away during COVID and yet have never come back. We need to engage ourselves today in the restoration of that which has gone astray. And it takes a lot of work. Oh, you say, well, I think that's the work for the preacher. Or I think that's the work for the elders or the overseers of the church. It's for those as yes. But not them only. It's for every faithful Christian who considers himself to be a spiritually minded, spirit-filled person ought to engage themselves in trying to bring back wayward sheep. And there are those that have wandered away from God and the fellowship of the church. And they need someone to love them. And they need someone to bring them back home. And in so doing, we will save a soul from death. And we learned that in James, the 5th chapter, verses 19 and verse 20, that brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, let him know that he which converteth his brother from the error of his way saves a soul from death and hides a multitude of sins. You see, when we restore a wayward sheep, a wayward brother or sister, we save that soul from death, from spiritual death. That's eternal death or separation from God. Now, the restored sheep can get back on the right path because the shepherd and bishop of our souls leads us in paths of righteousness. That's in verse 3 of Psalms 23. And it's when we began to follow the Bible that we learn the path we are to follow. The psalmist declared in Psalms 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So we live in a world of darkness, deep darkness today, and we need light so that we can see the way that we're to go. And it is the Word of God that furnishes light to give us the direction to illuminate our path so that we will be able to get ourselves out of the darkness into the light. And the Bible will lead us into the paths of righteousness. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 172 tells us all your commandments are righteousness. You see, I can only be made righteous when I obey the commands of God Almighty. And there are scores of brothers and sisters in the Lord today who need restoration. They need it not because they're bad people. Many of them are friends, our neighbors, maybe people that we see every day. Maybe it's someone you drink coffee with down at the coffee shop. Maybe it's someone you go fishing with, or you go hunting with. Maybe you play golf with them. And you know that they at one time were in good fellowship in the church, but now they've drifted away. They've gone away. They need restoration. They're not bad people. And they need restoration not because they don't want to live right. If you were to ask them, "Don't you want to live?" "Of course I want to live right." Well, why do they need restoration? Listen to me carefully. It just may be that they're on their back like a cast sheep, and they can't seem to get up by themselves. And they need you and me to lovingly, gently help them stand up again. You see, the prodigal had a shepherd-hearted father waiting for him at home. He was restored to the fellowship of his family with his father and his household because the father went looking for the boy. And we need God today as our shepherd to help restore us. A person that is in need of restoration is in a very perilous state. As we read there in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, that when we do restore such a one, when there's a person that's wandered away from the church and we restore that individual, then we've saved that person's soul from death. We read about a case of this in the New Testament in the 8th chapter of Acts. There was a man by the name of Simon. And Simon heard the preaching of Philip the evangelist. And along with others in Samaria, he was baptized. You see, back in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women, they were baptized." Now verse 13, "Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done." So here were people who heard the preaching of the truth. They believed. They were baptized. Remember what Jesus said, "If you believe, you're baptized, you'll be saved." Mark 16:16. They heard the gospel, believed the gospel, were baptized. They were saved. Simon believed. I don't have any reason to doubt or to question the validity of Simon's conversion. Someone says, "Well, he never was saved." How do you know that? Are you a judge of men? Are you making yourself God? I can't do that. I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. He believed and he was baptized. But Simon yielded to weakness. And his weakness was He saw that he had been giving himself out as some great one, bewitching the people and deceiving the people. And when he saw the apostles performing miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, he asked if he could buy that gift with money. And the apostle Peter told him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness." Well, what was the wickedness? One specific thing, not all of his past sins. Why, his baptism into Christ would have taken care of all of his past sins. But you see, he had a weakness, and he yielded to the weakness. And the weakness was trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit with money. And it was a specific sin. "This your wickedness, pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I perceive that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." And then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." Simon had obeyed the gospel amenable to which the alien sinner is amenable. That is, he believed in Christ. He was baptized into Christ. But after he was baptized, he yielded to the weakness. And then he was told, "You don't need to be rebaptized, Philip. You need to repent. You need to pray God that God will forgive you." He requested prayer of the brethren. And so that is God's second law of pardon of the alien sinner. God's first law of pardon of the alien sinner is to believe on Christ, to repent of sins, to confess in faith in Christ, and to be baptized into Christ. But his second law, as per the case here in Acts chapter 8, is after a person is baptized and they yield to no weakness, they are to repent of it and pray about it. And if it's done publicly, that might be something you need to bring before the church. That would be depending on the situation and the occasion, perhaps. But nonetheless, there is the need for restoration. We want to thank you for watching today. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.